Amen. Lord, we just love you tonight. We all just bow our heads now. Lord, we just so thank you, Father, for honoring us tonight with your presence. Indeed, Lord, I sense your spirit with us. I sense the earnestness of the saints here in desiring you. And Lord, we have that promise. It said, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, Lord, you said, by your word which cannot fail, that you would be right there in their midst. Father, and there are so many needs, Lord, tonight. And a great need to gather, Lord. For one will chase 100 and two, 1,000 and two, 10,000. There is great strength when your saints gather in numbers, precious in the sight of the Lord. Not only is the death of the saints, but in unity. It's great strength in unity, Father. When we gather around your word, Lord, we agree together according to your word, Father. As your Spirit leads and guides each thought and each request, that your will in heaven, Father, is done on earth. So, Lord, it's in that strength we gather, not in our own. It's in that confidence that we gather, not in our abilities or our words, Lord, but in thine. So, Father, again, we thank you humbly. For this time, we just pray, Lord, that you would exalt yourself tonight through each one. Take these humble lips, Lord, and just speak through them. You know, I'm not worthy, Lord, but you are worthy, Father. And may everyone see thy worthiness, that there is no reason to hold back anything in service to you. Help us, we pray tonight. Encourage our hearts. Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. It's nice to see you all. It's wonderful. Amen. God bless you. Music department, you may be dismissed. I thank you for your ministry and music. It's been wonderful. Amen. The Lord is good.
Amen.
I just got word last night that somebody that I know was at a place that somebody there had COVID. And so I don't believe I have COVID tonight. I believe the devil's a liar. Amen?
Amen.
He is a liar. But we're going to respect those things that are set before us. For our own welfare. But I'm thankful that the Lord put the Word of God before us for our welfare. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh, there's much to say about that. And we'll get into it here, please. Let's turn, if you would, while you're still standing, and I don't want to keep you standing forever. 2 Kings chapter 6, 10. Amen. Let's just approach the Word of God in reverence here. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants, and he said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he hither, thither, horses and chariots, and a great host. And they came by night, and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Now think about that. It looks pretty daunting. Syrians are your enemies, and they're surrounding you, horses everywhere. Think about that in the natural, what a threat that is. Let's continue to read verse 16. And he answered, fear not, for they be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw and beheld. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Amen. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord, and he said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. If you would, please, turn over to Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Remember, take you upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. Let's just bow our heads again. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word. For Lord, it is our wall of protection. Break to us now the bread of life, we pray. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Unless you're tired, you're going to fall asleep, that is. Amen. The Lord is good. I just want to thank the Lord. All of you that have braved out today, I'm thankful to the Lord that He's mindful of us. Amen. You probably can tell what I'm going to talk on tonight just by the context of what I've read, that warfare, fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. I hope you all know that we're in a battle. We are truly in a battle, you know, and Satan is a good adversary. And what the Lord has given to us at the beginning, He gave the best thing, Brother Branham said, that He could ever give us. He gave us more than an atomic bomb. And He gave it to us right away, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God is sharper, more powerful than any two-edged sword. It is the thing that Lord Jesus is going to come back, and He's going to set the world aright with. by the sword of his mouth. Amen? There's nothing more powerful than the Word of God. It framed the whole world. It framed all the universe. And it was given to his children whereby they could stand behind it and they were fortified behind the Word of God. The best thing that God ever gave us, to repeat myself, is the Word of God. Amen? Now, Satan's tactic, that hasn't changed either. What does he try to do? He tries to get you to lose confidence in your protection. Right? He tries to put a little worm in there, little worm of doubt, to think that what you have is not sufficient. Or else, he'll try to make you think, if you hold to God's Word, you're going to be denied a blessing. It's going to hold you back. Isn't that what he told the woman? If you eat of this tree, the Lord told him that you eat this tree, you shall surely die. Satan says, you shall not. The serpent says, you shall not surely die. For the Lord knoweth the day that you eat thereof, you shall become as wise as gods, knowing good and evil. So it appeared as if God was holding back a position to the woman. It appeared as if God was holding back something whereby she may benefit from. And that's exactly what Satan tries to do. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. Satan has always been busy. Now think of it, please. Shake ourselves a little bit. What is Satan doing? We know he's a liar, right? He will do all that he can to run subterfuge, campaign of distraction and misinformation to keep God's children away from their charter, from their God-given position, from their duty, keeping them off their knees, beseeching their God. Every manner of excuse, every little demon of enticement. Oh, just stay here just a little bit longer. You can pray. You'll have time. Just go with this a little bit longer. Read this article a little bit longer here. So many things that the devil will try to do to keep us away from listening to that still voice, from hearing that still small voice, from obeying that little unction. You notice how you don't feel it up here? You feel it right here, don't you? You feel like there's a conviction right there that's leading you. This is the throne of God. He's talking to you. He wants us to do His bidding. We are called to be sons and daughters of God. We are called to be light in this world by letting His life, His light, His Word, His truth, His love shine through us. Amen? Amen. All right, so we know that the greatest thing that God has given us for protection is the Word of God, right? Now, what will Satan try to do? He will try to knock you off the Word of God. He doesn't care how he does it. You know, if you think of it as keeping your balance in the Word of God, it's right there in the middle of the road. He'll either put you on one side or he'll push you on the other. Either make you a fanatic, right, where you go with anything, or he'll make you cold and formal and you won't believe and have the power of God move through your life. It doesn't matter, as long as you just don't keep your balance right there in the middle of God's Word. It doesn't matter. We can see right now that we're seeing the effects of a nation that has rejected the Word of God. I'm not trying to make this political, okay? Brother Branham preached a sermon, flashing red lights of his coming. Amen. When Jeremiah was there and he was speaking for the Word of God, and he was telling him how that the armies of the Lord would come, not armies, I'm sorry, the armies of Babylon would come in, and they would come in and they would destroy Jerusalem. Okay? And the officers there in the army and the king wanted him to shut up. Not only did they not believe him, but the one thing that they were concerned about was that his words was weakening the hands of the people. And yet, what he was talking about was the word of the Lord. I'm sure Jeremiah took no pleasure in his position of what it is that he had to say. But he was a God-called prophet. He had, "Thus saith the Lord." He tried to keep quiet. Isn't that right? He tried to say not another word. And then his word was as fire held up in his bones. He couldn't but speak the word of God. And they took him and they threw him into dungeon. And everything that Jeremiah said came to pass. And I imagine how hard it was to see the word of God that he had proclaimed from his lips come to pass as he was seeing his beloved Jerusalem. He loved that city. He loved the people. He took no pleasure in seeing the judgment of God upon that city, right? They were called of God. They were called to serve God, right? America, when America came out, they came for the liberty to come and to worship God. And for many, many, many years, it was a light on a hill because it was established upon the Word of God. And because it was established on the Word of God, God poured its blessings upon America. And it was such a testimony around the world that even evangelists, even missionaries from different races, different tongues, they would point at America and you see, that's a Christian nation. Do you see how much it's being blessed? That's what happens when you obey the Word of God. At one time, America was an evangel. It was a witness of what would happen if you obey God's Word. Sure, it had problems. Sure, it had warts. Sure, it had wrong things. But the visions that God had established in those men that established this country was a vision that they were trying to aspire to. Did they fall short of it? Absolutely. Did their lives live up to it? No, it did not. But they laid a foundation that those who were following from other generations could be blessed from that foundation. How did they start? They started with prayer. They started seeking God. They started asking Him for wisdom that He might establish this nation. But now, what has happened to it? Back in 56, 55, Brother Branham was talking about how that the gospel went across the nation back and forth. And he said, this is America's time to either accept or reject the gospel message. In 56, he says, I'm afraid she has rejected the gospel message. I'm afraid when she rejects the gospel message, there'll be no hope for her. She'll be gone. This is a prophet of God speaking. Brother Branham makes a statement. Before all this came to pass, he said this. You know, the best armor that America has in this present crisis, this is 1950. Okay? We had the Korean War going on, or the plague. He says, the best armor that America has in this present crisis is God-fearing, praying people. That's the best. It's worth more than all the bombs and tanks that we could produce. What are you putting your trust in? Some trust in chariots. Some in horses. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. America used to be that way. They used to call upon the name of the Lord. God will always fight for His people, Brother Branham said. It's looking to the unseen, 1950. Now let's fast forward, birth pains, 1965. Talking about America. Now, she must rot, of course, as I've said, in order to bring new birth. Now what has she rotten into? Notice, my brother, she's totally rotten. Her politics and system is just as rotten as they can be. There isn't a sound bone in her body. Boy, isn't that the truth. Yes. Her inner world systems, her politics and her religious politics and whatever it is, one says, I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist. Why, the whole thing is rotten to the core. There's got to be something to give way. Listen to this. She can't stand. If you put a George Washington or an Abraham Lincoln in every county in this United States, it still couldn't come back. It's beyond redemption. And right now, you feel in a certain way you're a Jeremiah. You're hearing, you're seeing the Word of God having been proclaimed upon a nation. And right now you're seeing all kinds of things breaking forth in the streets. And nobody can stop them. Why is that? It's because they have rejected the Word of God. They don't know what righteousness is. They don't know what up or what down is anymore. You see that. You see it in so many people. You see Satan displayed in media and institutions. We hear so much about the right and the left. As Rabbi Zacharias said, he said, you don't hear anymore that there is an up and there is a down. Amen? Because they have not retained God in their consciousness, they have forgotten that they will have to stand before Him and give an account of their life upon the earth and try to justify their actions before the Holy One. We used to teach this in our public schools. Even as recently as the 1970s, there was still an outlier there. I was reading a curriculum in Texas. They were talking about the deity of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1. Public school. This is what it used to be. Amen. Please remember, everything that Satan says, he's a liar. He says just enough truth for you to turn his direction, but he's got a hook in there that is a straight lie. 2 Peter 2:19 says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. Promises liberty, but give you bondage. Isn't that right? Satan doesn't care about anything, any group that he cares to represent. I don't care if it's women. I don't care. You just name it. Blacks. He doesn't care about blacks. I'm not trying to make this political. I'm trying to bring in current events the Word of God. We have to be able to take the Word of God and make it relevant. Amen. You are lights. I am called to be a light upon this earth. And the Word of God has come to pass exactly. And we have an appointment, amen, to make. And that appointment is with the Lord in that, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, right? We won't be here anymore. But until then, we're to be lights shining into this world. What is their hope? Some kind of a political solution? No. The only hope there is in Jesus Christ. The Word of God. From the very beginning, the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Brother Branham, in mentioning that story that we had just read, first scripture there about Elisha and the servant and the Syrian army being surrounded. I'm not going to read that here because we just read it for the sake of time. He says, oh, what I think tonight, Lord, let us look past the curtain of time. Just look over, just a little peek, see what it's all about. We're fighting here tonight a great warfare, right against wrong. Word of God against modern theology and trying to make the Word of God bring it to the people while the enemy would try to beset it in every way. I love this. But one is the majority in God. Amen? I like that. One is the majority in God. Doesn't matter. Let them shake. Doesn't matter if hand join in hand, the Bible says, yet the wicked will still go unpunished. Amen. Amen. And tonight, dear Christian friends, we look at the unseen. that just come in my mind. The supernatural is what you do not see, but what you believe and act on as though it was. See, everything in the Christian armor is supernatural. We do not look at what we see. We look at what we do not see. You cannot be healed only through looking at what you do not see. Amen. It's real. You know, I was talking to Brother Don about this the other night. When the days of Jesus, when he was walking in his corporal body, and I might have said this over the pulpit, I don't know. I forget who you said what to where. But this is important. There was a real move in the land of Israel at that time. They had conservatives back then. They believed in their God-given heritage. They believed that God said that that land of Israel belonged to them, and that they were interlopers in the land called Romans, and that if everybody would just pull together and hold to God's word, we can just drive these Romans right in to the sea. And what they were saying was correct intellectually. You could argue that from the word of God. What they said was correct. The only thing was, is that the word was not placed, because there's a time for all things. On the scene comes the Lord Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, the one who had given to them that land, the one that he was permitting the Romans to overrun. Did he say anything? Did he do anything to lay his hand to the cause of the zealots? He even called a zealot to be one of his disciples, Peter. Called him right in. Who knows how many more were part of that movement. And they thought that he would come in and he would establish his kingdom. This is the one we're waiting for. The one that's going to come and it's going to drive the Romans into the sea. And yet, Jesus didn't speak anything about that. He went preaching the kingdom of God. The Bible said he went everywhere preaching the kingdom of God. He says, what did he say about the kingdom of God? He said, the kingdom of God comes without observation. Think about that. There is a reality greater than what we see with our eyes. There is a greater intensity, if you would, of the Spirit. Because everything that we see with our eyes is controlled by some spirit somewhere. It's either controlled by God or it's controlled by Satan. And he went everywhere, drawing from that strength. All that was in God was poured into Christ. All the power of heaven and earth was walking in that vessel. And there wasn't anybody that could stand before him. He was walking with authority. He was preaching the kingdom of God. He says that kingdom comes without observation. He went on to say that kingdom is within you. And he was inviting everybody to come into that kingdom where he is the Lord. When he was standing before Pilate and asked, were you the king of Israel? He was. But not in this realm. He says, if I were king in this kingdom, he says, my subjects would fight for me. What is that? He wasn't representing this. He was pointing to a great kingdom. And we're called to show forth that kingdom, that reality of that kingdom, which is more real than this which we see with our eyes. Amen? Amen. Amen. But right now, because the word of God has been abdicated in the public square totally, God has taken off his hand. You can see it. He's slipping away. right now, brother, my sister, you are the salt of the earth. You are the ones right now that are the preservative. You're the one that is holding the Holy Ghost here in this world, and you're holding back the ultimate judgment of God. But the Bible says, let him that letteth shall let. Him that hinders, that's what the word let means, shall let until he that hinders is taken out of the way. That he there, Brother Branham said, is represented in the bride until he, the bride, is taken out of the way. You see, you are preserving this world. Amen. But we've got a work to do. We're called into a battle. Though we can't control the circumstances, everything turns according to God's wheels, according to his will and everything. But we are called to enter into the fray. We're called to enter into a warfare. Brother Branham commenting here. He says, listen, you know what the Bible predicts that in the last days that there'll be a germ warfare? Germs will break out upon the people and will fall on everyone without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But with the angel who had charge over these plagues was given orders to touch no one on whom the mark was. Oh, what kind of teachers we ought, brethren, to get the church in order to be that condition. Amen. Goes on to say, but in order to conquer and to win the greatest battle that was ever won, one stepped out of glory many years ago. And he did not take upon himself the form of an angel. He did not come as some great person. Now think of how the Lord operates here. What's great in the eyes of man is foolishness in God. What's big in the eyes of man is small in the eyes of God. What's small in the eyes of man is big in the eyes of God. He did not come as some great person, but he was going to prove that it don't take muskets and bullets and atomic bombs to win a war. He clothed himself in humility like a baby and was born in a manger. There was not even a place for his birth when he come. I want you to look at the different material of warfare, what he used. Not an atomic bomb, a baby. Now Adam's race was all in bondage. There they were without hope, without God, without chance, without mercy, without anything that could help them. The great enemies of the lower regions of the lost had been shut up in darkness, and there was not a way out. There was no one could help. Nothing could be done. It looked like a total and complete loss. But God, I'm reading out of the Great and Mighty Conqueror, 57. God knew this great warfare was coming on between right and wrong. He knew what the enemy was going to do. He knew just exactly how to equip his people. So if you notice, the first thing that God equipped his children was, being infinite, he knew what it was to defeat Satan anytime, any place, anywhere, on any conditions. He wouldn't say, well, I'll give them something here and a few years later. I'll study out something to do better to give them. And then after a few years later, like we in a military force, the old bow and arrow and the sledge and the rock hammer. And the next thing, you know, a musket and then the Springfield and then atomic weapons and things. See, we keep going. But God at the beginning gave his children the atomic weapon because he's the infinite God. Now seeing there was going to be a conflict and there was going to be a battle, God equipped his children with the right kind of ammunition, right kind of attack, the right kind of everything that they had need of that would sweep them all the way from Eden to the rapture. What was it? The Word. That's what defeats Satan, is the word. It defeats him anywhere, any place. Now, why do we want to substitute something else when we've already got the best thing that there is, the word? Amen? Amen. 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 Brother Branham makes a statement here, and I think this is really key, really important. You see, preaching, Ephesians 4, talking about the fivefold ministry, there is an until there. There is an until we all come to the unity of the faith. Let's read that real quick. Ephesians 4 and 20. Yes. Okay. Let's back to 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. It's a body ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, talking about the body of Christ, perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there's an until there, till we come. There's an end game here. We're equipping the body. The body is being equipped. And we all have got something to do. And here's what Brother Branham said. And look where it is. It's not just for one or two in a church. It's for every one of us. Every believer has a right to take this word and fight the enemy anywhere you meet him. Anywhere you meet the enemy, this word is what you have to use. And Jesus proved it when he came. Yes, he did. So he equipped his children with the word for their protection against the enemy. When the all-out warfare comes in the battles and set in array, then there's only one thing a real soldier can use, a real Christian soldier, that's thus saith the Lord. Walk right out there and meet the enemy with the assurance that nothing, 1,000 may fall at your right and 10,000 at your left, but it won't come nigh thee. Just remember that God made this statement and give it this to his children, and it's the best thing that's ever been yet. Amen. Amen. You see, positionally you stand as a son. You stand as a daughter of God. It doesn't matter. I mean, there's a reason why God had used that example of Elisha being surrounded by the soldiers on every hand, because you in yourself think there's no way naturally they would have any chance at all. But again, in that spiritual dimension, my brother, my sister, you're never alone. It says that the angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear him. The Lord is as close as the mention of his name. He is there right there for us. Amen. He's ready to prove himself mighty. And all who call upon his name, amen. 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 I'd like to tell you a little story about this one small woman. Her name is Gladys Allward. Have you ever heard of her before? You know, she had on her heart that she wanted to go to China. She thought she would join the China Inland Mission, which was started years before by Hudson Taylor. Just to show you that God calls individuals. He doesn't call organizations. As soon as you make it an organization, you're going to fail. You know, it's usually that one person who's called. They make an organization around it to keep it rolling. It won't work. It can't work. It never works. It may roll along for so long. But eventually it won't come to anything. God calls individuals. Gladys Allward took a test in different things in this school to determine if she could go over there to China. She failed. Not only did she failed miserably. She was not qualified. You are not qualified to go to China. We can't take you. I'm sorry. We got to give your spot up to somebody younger, more qualified. That didn't deter her. She believed that God wanted to send her to China. I won't take the time to tell you how she got to China. But all I can say is she should not have even made it through Russia. All that, but God's hand was upon her. And God delivered her and brought her providentially exactly where she needed to be. And they had this place, and they were there to witness Jesus Christ, to witness the gospel. She had the gospel pulsating in her heart. She wanted to share the love of Jesus Christ to the Chinese people. She wanted to share with them the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to His Word, and that they too can have their sins forgiven if they just look to Jesus Christ. Amen? So, lo and behold, they had this problem with binding feet, you know? And they needed somebody to go and encourage this antiquated way to not be held onto anymore. And so the Mandarin thought she would be perfect for the job. Her feet are whole. She can walk easily from village to village. And he asked, would she be willing to take that position? And she didn't even hesitate, because that would put her, it had to be a woman, couldn't be a man, because they were talking and dealing with women. It could go right up in there and it wouldn't be any problem at all to encourage them to unbind the little girl's feet. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those things. It takes your toes and it literally binds it to where they're right up here against the heel. And it's terribly grotesque. And it makes cripples out of them. It makes them walk in such a way as they totter. Somehow they find that attractive. That's the devil. He's a liar, see? He binds people, promising them beauty, and it's ugliness, but convincing them in their grotesque contortions that that is beauty. See, he's just a liar. So she used this to go into and to witness Jesus Christ as she was unbinding their feet. See how the Lord opens up doors? Here's a testimony. During her second year at Yangchen, Gladys was summoned by the Mandarin. A riot had broken out into the men's prison. Have you heard this testimony? She arrived and found the convicts were rampaging in the prison courtyard, and several of them had been killed. The soldiers were afraid to intervene. So they're going to send this little woman in a courtyard filled with men that are killing each other. So much so that the soldiers who are armed with guns and so forth are afraid to enter in. They're going to send this little, small, diminutive woman in this place here. I want to tell you of the power of God, that that dimension that you are in is more real than this dimension right here, and that Jesus Christ has power over every spirit that controls the people that are around you. He said, the warden of the prison said to Gladys, go into the yard and stop the rioting. She says, how can I do that? How can I do that? The warden said, you've been preaching that those that trust in Christ have nothing to fear. I read the book. It doesn't elaborate it here, but she felt very much put on the spot. She felt her Lord was put on the spot. She was afraid to go out there, but just like the children of Israel, Lord, I'm walking out here. You have the power to deliver me. But nonetheless, I'm trusting you that if I go in and I die, I do it in your name and for your glory. They that put their trust in the Lord shall not fear. She had her own words echoed back to her. She entered forth. Now here's the time where you put your gospel into flesh. She's fleshing out the promise of God. She went walking out into that courtyard. She walked in the courtyard, shouted, "Quiet! I cannot hear when everyone is shouting at once. Choose me, one or two of you as spokesmen, and let's talk." So she did, and she found out, just like that, a big bucket of water. They could not believe that this small little woman was walking amongst them, had the gall to stand out amongst them and tell these adults to be quiet and to quit fighting. They just stopped right there. She found out what the problems were, what the grievance was. She was able to take those grievance and to change the situation in that courtyard, in that prison for better. They gave them loom. They didn't have enough to eat, and they brought looms where they could weave and so forth, weave their clothing and earn enough money to buy their own food. And donations were made, and they also gave them a grindstone so that they could work grinding grain. And the people began to call Gladys Allward Awede, which means virtuous one. And it was her name, henceforth. That's what they called her, virtuous one. What was it? They seen the life of Jesus Christ put on display. It doesn't say it right here. But the thing that really touched was how the Mandarin thought she was a ridiculous woman until he watched her life and saw how she lived. You know? And then the end, when the Japanese were coming in, they had to run, and he had to tell the people where to go and to find a place of safety during that time, that he says, "I want you to know, I want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart."
Hallelujah.
And the Mandarin became a Christian because of the testimony of her. I think that is just a tremendous thing. There's not a greater reward there is than to win somebody to Christ. That is making something eternal. Amen. So it doesn't matter what situation we find ourselves in. God provided us all that we need to overcome. Everything that we need. Doesn't matter. Don't care how much money you have or don't have. Don't care what you have physically or don't have physically. He's provided all things. He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. The worst thing we can do is to lose confidence in it or roll over and go to sleep. Satan wins, I could say, all of his battle by forfeit. God has given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He's given us prayer, which we are told by Brother Branham is the most powerful weapon that was ever placed in the hands of a man, a woman. When we wield these three things, Satan cannot win. He has no chance. Brother Branham said, when the weakest of us gets down on our knees, when the weakest saint, Satan trembles. We must remind ourselves, please. We must know our position. We must know our God-given authority that we have in His Word. We must know the love of Christ that conquers all. We must know the tactics of the enemy. He's a slicker. He's a liar. We also must know that Satan is a defeated foe. He goes about as a roaring lion, but he's not a roaring lion. He's been defanged. He's toothless. Amen? Christ has already won, defeated him at Calvary. And we must know, remind ourselves, it shouldn't take hard, be hard. We are in a battle. We're in a battle. Sometimes you may not hear the bullets fly, but we're in a battle. Amen? We must stand our ground and fight.
Good, brother.
Fight for your loved ones. Fight for your brothers and your sisters. Fight for those around you, those that are lost. Fight in your God-given position and take your stand. Amen? Let's bow our heads if we would. Heavenly Father, Lord, we have been called to battle. We've been called to fight. Lord, we must not be timid at all or shy. For we can do more, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, I pray, even as we're bowing here, we're asking, Lord, that you would help us, each one speak to each heart. Lord, what would you have us do, Lord, to further the cause? What would you have us do? Who would you have us call? Who would you have us go and see? Lord, I pray as we go out in the workplace, I pray that you would give us boldness. I pray that you wouldn't let us settle for the lies of Satan saying that we must be silent. We must not cause any kind of ripple. Lord, I pray that you would lead us. You said that all that were ordained to eternal life, Lord, please lead us to that predestinated seed. Give us boldness, Lord. Speak the word. Grant it, Father. Lord, just help us each one tonight as we commit the service in your hands. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. What song is that? Depending on the promise. 31.
Standing on the promises of God.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet.
Standing on the promises of Christ the King, through eternal ages that His grace is free.
Day, and we're in a very interesting time. You can be seated for a second. Would you just thank you, Brother Greg? Love these things. The Word is coming to life, and it's coming off the page, off of print, and it has to. And it has to come just speaking out from us.
That's right.
And I believe that's where we're at, and that's the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Isn't that interesting? The kingdom of God comes without observation.
Yeah.
Okay? Because what is that? All of a sudden, you have a revelation with your God and you walk with him and he becomes your king. Yeah. And he becomes ruler over all of you.
Wow.
There's the kingdom.
Wow.
Right? And there's another kingdom, and there's another kingdom, and there's another kingdom. But then it grows, see? And it has to grow and accomplish. Even as we were reading in Ephesians 4, and that amazing word for this day, till we all come to the unity of the faith, someplace, it's got to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be fulfilled. And to the experiential knowledge, just not a mental knowledge of the Son of God, knowing him. Okay? Unto a finished man. Now, if that isn't adoption and that's not where we're at, what is he doing? And then again, the question is he doing it in me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're at a critical juncture, brothers and sisters. We are. We take these words. We have to take them home. We have to take them onto our beds. We have to take them onto our pillow. We go to sleep with them at night, and we rise up with them in our hearts in the morning. It's there. It's because it's becoming a part of us. Now, it stabilizes you that we are henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. You know where you stand. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Now, where is that? Who are these men? Yeah. And find one that would say that I'm laying in wait to deceive. See, their spirit's operating.
Yeah.
You understand? Spirit's operating, and this is what the spirits are doing. But the people who are in this place are above it. So what are these people doing? Verse 15. Speaking the truth. How? Because if they're speaking in love, they're speaking in the spirit. Because it's in the body of Christ. Okay? Has to be. What happens when they speak the truth in love? They grow. They grow where? Up. Up where? Into him. She is him. She is becoming him. She is becoming more like him. She is growing up into him. She is growing. Okay, this is the word. This is not just the word. This is not just this. This has come off the page into my heart, into your life, and it's taking action. And this is this word coming to live. This is where we're at, right here. This is where the Spirit of God, this is where we're, okay? Grow up into him in something. Now here's what, you know where the bride has been? I'll be honest with you. Up to this point, people have always taken a part of the message that they like. I like doctrine. I don't like doctrine. I don't like doctrine. I'm going to go for this life. I don't like the life. You know what? Okay, this is foolish. We have to have the doctrine because why did God send a prophet? So I like this camp. Okay, it's the seven thunders. It's the this. It's the Perugia. It's the this. It's the... Come on, take your pick. And they'll take quotes that they like and they refuse the other ones. Okay? Now, you can do this because we're all doing it to the parts. And I think the Spirit of God is coming to us and say, hey, it's time to grow up into him.
Okay.
Now what? In not something. What does it say there? There you go. So there's something. Now here's where the body of Christ, okay? How many are dying, crying out to the Lord, I need more of a burden for lost souls? I am. I agonize before God I don't have an evangelistic gift, but there's nothing that excites me more than testifying to somebody for all of us, and I can see it in you. You're never more happier than you. I got to talk to the Lord about, to somebody about the Lord today, right? I know it thrills your heart, right? Okay. Hallelujah! That's part of it, but that's not all of it.
Yeah, right.
Okay, now, well, I've ignored this other part because I didn't really like it, and I didn't really believe for it. No, that too.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? I got to have the truth. I have to have the doctrine. I have to have the life. I have to have the burden for lost souls. And I have to edify each other. I have to lay myself down for the brethren. So there's this, there's going to be that perfect love. There's going to be this self-sacrificial love on the behalf of somebody else. That's what I'm watching for. This all to come together. And you know what's all going to wind up? In the Spirit of Christ. Because that is the ultimate. Because you cannot have self, true self. No, the Spirit of Christ. That's supernatural. That's totally supernatural. And Mary and I have been talking about this even today. This Romans, what is it, 16? I pray that I would be a curse for my brethren's sake. Hey, come on. How many things have we been talking about lately? That's easy to say, and it's easy to read out of the book. Oh, let's read this first scripture tonight. Oh, aren't we holy? Paul said, I would rather that I'd be accursed. Now, take that home with you. What am I going to do with it? But dealing with it is where the death comes.
Yeah.
And the rebirth and the life. Okay? So, it was there. We've seen it. We've seen it in Scripture. We've seen it in the prophet. We've seen it before us. And now all of these things are coming together at this critical juncture of time when everything is swirling around us in this world, and yet the Spirit of God is swirling around us in our hearts to accomplish His Word. Now, don't remember, you can get... I listen to a little bit of news here and there, and I can't take it. And I get physically ill, and I even get busy. I'll be honest with you, there's things that are I see, they're frightening.
Amen.
Then you realize, oh, come on, grab a hold of yourself, right? Because it looks like it's on the verge of utter chaos.
Yeah.
300 people walking up to your house, David, 300 people walking by your house and they say, we're going to burn your house down and kill you. Now, it would take quite the faith to stand there in the face of that. To stand apart over here is easy. Oh, this is what I would do. Right? You're distant from it. Wait till it comes to your door. So, we're going to be put to the test. Is my faith real? Where do I stand? You have to remember when you hear all of these things and you hear the news, everything, okay? And it came to pass that the word of God might be fulfilled, correct?
Yeah.
How many thousands of times that it might come to pass that the word might be fulfilled? So... question for you now. Where is the last fulfilling of His word? Where is the last place He's working to fulfill His word? Huh? In His bride. You. So what's all of this happening for? You. Where are we at? Take these things, brothers. Don't just play church and go, oh, what a great preacher about 2 minutes later. You're forget. Oh, I don't know, remember. That was a good sermon, though. We're past that. We're past those things. Sister Laura, how's Rudy today? Not good. Is he still in the hospital tonight? David, stand up. Let's all pray for him right now. Lay your hands on Laura. Yeah, we're with you, sis. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Laura. David, go ahead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen, Lord, we're with her. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We're with you, sis. We're with him. Praise the Lord. Now, this is another scripture, okay? How about these words, that there should be no schism in the body, okay? But that the members should have the same care. Is that the Spirit of Christ?
Yes.
Same care. One for another. That's not this group, that's the body of Christ. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. That's true. Right? It's a reality. Where one member is honored, be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. See, this is where he's at. This becomes you. You are walking this, living. Right? Quit picking out parts that you like and quit disregarding things that you don't like. Because Brother Branham said, what did he say? If you have the Holy Spirit, it says amen to
amen
what?
Every word.
To what?
Every.
Yeah. All. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the exhortation. Tonight, it's so easy to get distracted, to be swayed, to be moved by things that we do see. Then, well, Paul had plenty of things that he saw that disturbed his heart, but he went beyond them to look to the things that are unseen, and he got stabilized and believed. You're the stabilizing factor of everything in our lives, Father, and how we're desperate for you in that. We know Brother Branham looked at things in the natural, even growing up, or different parts of his life, and I can remember even in the last part, super signing, he said, I would be very discouraged if I didn't remember the scripture that unless the Father calls them, there's no way they can come. So there he goes beyond what he sees into the Word of God, and he got stabilized. And Father, that's what we need even here, even tonight. So I lift every one of us up to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, everyone here and online. In the body of Christ, wherever they are around the world, Lord. Oh, God, anchor us in the stabilizer. Give us those eyes of faith to see like Elisha saw, like Brother Branham saw. And when we get swayed with what we see, may we look to the unseen, to the Word, and become stabilized once more. Grant it, Father. Be glorified in us, through us, and all that we are, all that we do. And give us divine appointments, would you, Father, in this last day. Walking down the street, walking in a grocery store, just lead us to some poor hungry soul. Help us be very, very conscious of your Spirit with us to do those things. Help us always be ready to not have anything planned, but trusting that you would give in that second something that we would never even think of, but that person needs, and you would know what that need is. That's the working of your Spirit we long to see. Partakers and participators and givers of eternal life through us. Grant it, Father. Please. There's a song that's been on my heart all night. Jesus, Lord to me, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, there's the kingdom. Ruler is my King. Would you stand with me? Jesus, Jesus, Lord to me. My Lord, my King. Would you just make love to him one more time? Raise your hands to him tonight. Dear Lord, commit ourselves into your hands and say, here we are, Father, gentle shepherd. We are your people, the sheep of your pasture. We belong to you. We're the ones you rule over. Oh God, take your place. Let us take ours underneath you, giving you always your place. Cry out, so thankful that you are our King, our Lord, our Shepherd. Keep us, Lord. Father, for those even prayer requests and so many others, I know. I'm going to ask right now, Father, as we go and walk in the Spirit, you give to each one of us burdens for someone who needs it, even tonight. Lord, before we go go to bed, there's going to be people on our hearts that we can lift up to you by faith. This beautiful, wonderful mystery of prayer. It's you saying, son, my daughter, I want you involved in what I'm doing with this brother, this sister, this person. We consider it a treasure from you, Father. Give that to us tonight, each one of us, everyone. I ask for your glory. All these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you.